Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
This is the Financial Flight Plan. Walter Storholt alongside Tim Estes, Bree Reyes, the great team at Estes Financial Services here in the Metroplex, serving you with an office in Fort Worth. Find them online at estesfinancial.net and also on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Tim was a Navy fighter pilot for 20-plus years and flew for American Airlines for many years as well. That's why we call the show the Financial Flight Plan. And Bree is here as well to help us take the reins and help educate you more about the financial world. And we're going to have a little fun doing that on today's podcast because we're going to talk about the seven deadly sins of retirement planning. And it's not just the fact that you shouldn't, you know, just be avoiding these seven deadly sins in your personal life, but they pop up in your financial life as well. And sometimes they're harder to spot, so we've got to be aware of them. You know the seven deadly sins: pride, envy, wrath, greed, sloth, which is always my favorite, gluttony, and lust. And so we're going to break them all down on today's podcast. Guys, let's start with pride. That one might be a little easier to spot for a lot of people. Where do you see pride wreaking havoc in somebody's financial life?
Well, I tell you where I see it is people think, oh, I can do it. It's not that hard. I can go to E-Trade or somebody like that or Schwab, and I can do just as well as you can. The world's a little more complicated than just buying a couple of mutual funds and putting it in your portfolio. And so a lot of people are kidding themselves that they've developed a solid portfolio when in fact they have seven different mutual funds and they're all doing the same thing and they think they're being diversified.
Isn't the statement "pride goeth before a fall"? And I see this, I don't mean to be gender specific, but we tend to see this more in men than our female investors.
I've been saying this for years, that women make better long-term investors than men. Men, you know, they'll stand around the water cooler and, oh yeah, man, I made 25% on this stock or whatever. And the pride comes in and they tend to make bigger and more mistakes than women. And it's not a slam against us men. It's just the way it is with investing. I see that women are better investors over the long haul.
Yeah, it's just how we're wired sometimes, and it's as simple as that. It doesn't mean that every single man is going to be more prideful than every single woman, but in terms of trends, it's very popular that that ends up being the case, and so it has different implications in terms of how we approach our finances. I guess kind of the brother of pride, or maybe the sister of pride, is envy, and that keeping up with the Joneses mentality can lead you down a bad path as well. Where do you see it specifically, though, with retirement planning?
Specifically with retirement planning, it's basically stealing from your retirement plan to buy your new car or to make sure you have the nicest home in the neighborhood or send your kids to the most expensive private school instead of taking that money and actually saving it for the future or even having an emergency fund.
This is one of the conversations I have with clients a lot, is they want to make sure that they provide for their kids. And I understand that. But here's someone that's approaching retirement, maybe 5 to 7 years away from retirement, and they're wanting to make sure that their child goes to, oh, I'll use an example, Texas Christian University, which has a tuition of around $41,000 or $42,000 a year. And they're willing to sacrifice their retirement versus having the child look for grants, look for loans, look for
scholarship forms,
things like that. They're willing to take money out of their retirement so that the child can go to a good college. And I tell them, and I try to emphasize, you're getting close to retirement. Your child has 40 years to work and pay off loans. You've only got another 5 years to prepare for your retirement, and you're not there. And so it's always a difficult decision, but you know, I tell the clients a lot, you need to have this conversation with your kids.
sometimes what we think ends up being the healthiest thing for us or the right thing for us ends up taking us down a wrong path. And envy can a lot of the times lead to that. And your story there about the college selection and that whole process, I think, ends up being a good illustration of that. Sometimes one of the seven deadly sins of retirement planning ends up being wrath. Where do you see wrath, or I guess, the anger play that role in a financial plan?
Well, one of the ways I saw it, and it wasn't so much in the financial plan, but it was a friend of mine. He thought he was the next Warren Buffett, and he was doing day trading, and he was angry all the time at the market makers because he would be bidding on a stock, wanting it to go up a quarter point or a half a point so he could day trade in it and day trade out. And it never went the direction that he thought it would. And he was angry at the market makers because they were holding the prices down or they were doing something else that he didn't like. And so he was angry all the time about the way the stocks were going. And before he finally decided, hey, maybe I'm not Warren Buffett, maybe I need to quit doing this day trading, he was in the hole for $800,000. And I kept telling him, you got to quit doing this. But obviously, when it's just a friend telling you, he didn't listen too much.
Yeah, and not listening is always a recipe for disaster. We should always have our ears open and ready to take advice, especially those folks who are trying to keep us from committing these seven deadly sins of retirement planning. So we've covered pride, envy, and wrath. Then we get to maybe the one you would most closely associate with finances, and that would, of course, be greed. And I'm sure you have no shortage of stories here.
Oh, none when it comes to greed. It's easy to see high returns on a statement and think that that is a permanent locked-in gain and to try to go higher. I've had clients tell me, well, I know that normally I'm a low-risk investor, but because the market's doing so well, I want to be a high-risk investor. I want everything. I want the best return that I'm going to get this year. And what people don't understand is your risk tolerance doesn't change just because what's going on in the market. It's your risk tolerance. It's how much risk you are willing to take.
People love risk. They just like upside risk. They don't like the downside risk. So you have to be really careful and not let greed interfere and cloud your judgment. We do see this on occasion. That's why we do the podcast. That's why we do educational seminars, is we try to teach and coach our clients to avoid the greed and speculation of trying to do too much in the market.
Well, and usually by the time you hear of a particular stock or a particular investment making giant gains, the gain's already been made.
And the news is factored in. Hmm. So if the news is factored in, then it's not really. Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, you're not getting, if you're hearing about it on Mad Money, you're not getting it ahead of time from anyone else. The rest of the world knows the stock is not going to change because of what's said about it in the news. Like you said, that it's already baked into the price, and you're not going to see those adjustments happen after you end up finding out about it. Otherwise, you've got some insider information, and now we're getting into illegal territory. So,
exactly.
Likely that's not the case, and it's just a matter of the fact that you're trying to capitalize on what you think is great information when really everybody else knows about it already. So beware of greed, obviously. That's probably the most common one that we see in retirement planning. I don't know if it's necessarily the opposite of greed, but I kind of envision greed as like, okay, I'm chasing, I'm doing something, at least I'm active. And then sloth is kind of the opposite of that. It's one of the seven deadly sins, and it is apparent in retirement planning as well.
Well, I've seen a little bit of this where I get, this is a typical conversation that I'll hear. Oh, Tim, I trust you. You'll take care of it. You'll do everything for me. So I don't have to look at my statements. I don't have to come in and review it. You'll take care of it and make sure everything is done. Well, yes, I do that. And Bree does that. But we also need your involvement because it's your money. We can only be as dedicated to your efforts as you are. I mean, if you don't care, where does that leave us? We're having to do the job of both you and our job, and it doesn't work too well. It's kind of like in a marriage, you know, if one person's giving 100% and the other's giving nothing, it averages out to 50%, but it just doesn't work. So you have to be actively involved and know where you're going and what you're doing. We'll be there to help steer you in the right direction, but you still have to be involved.
And we also see this when we're interviewing potential new clients, when they come in to talk with us. A lot of times they've just kind of sat back and really don't know what they own and don't know who they're investing with and don't really want to make a move. Those decisions or those lack of decisions can cost them significantly in terms of time and money.
Yeah, it's always interesting to talk about the consequences of these things. And sloth is one that you might not think, well, at least I'm not greedy. It can't be as bad if I'm just not doing a whole lot of homework, but hey, I'm not being greedy. Well, it can still have just as bad of consequences to it as well. There are two more of these retirement planning sins that we haven't discussed yet, the seven deadly retirement planning sins. And the sixth is gluttony. And this one, kind of like we talked in last week's podcast a little bit about how people are getting addicted to the stock market. It's a bad habit. I would say that's probably because they're suffering from maybe that sin of gluttony right now.
Gluttony is very much the stepsister of greed. And people look at one particular stock or they look at how well they're doing and they're not willing to diversify, or they're not willing to do a rebalance to take some of the profits off the table. And I've had cases where you've owned this stock for 20 years. Maybe it's time for you to take a little profit and take some money off the table. I've got several clients that own large positions in one stock. I keep saying, you got to diversify. Well, I will when it goes up just five more dollars. It gets there and I call them back and they go, well, uh-oh, I'm not ready to sell. and so it becomes a perpetual cycle. And then when the stock drops 20 points, they go, oh man, I should have sold. I should have listened to you. I get that a lot.
Well, I heard a story the other day about a guy who bought a whole lot of Facebook stock and then sold after, I guess, maybe, I can't remember the exact details of the story, but sold, I guess, after it had doubled. And now he's kicking himself because it's gone up even more. And he feels like he totally lost out on an opportunity. And he was reminded by this particular advisor, no, you won. You made money. You're okay. Don't be gluttonous. You sold at the right time, because you can't kick yourself looking back in the rearview mirror like that. But gluttony tends to just kind of, especially in the moment, want us to, well, let's just get a little bit more. And you just take yourself down a bad path there. So be very, very careful of where gluttony comes into the equation. If you have a plan, stick to the plan. Don't try and go too far off script. And that'll help you out a little bit. Lust would be the final of the seven deadly sins. Where is lust prevalent in financial and retirement planning?
It's definitely present in financial planning as far as discussing goals. Some people have very realistic financial goals for retirement. Others, maybe not so realistic. So that's always a fun conversation to have, especially with two different spouses, where one's very realistic and one would like to move to the moon and own Jupiter type situation.
Yeah, we have seen several cases of where, well, I want to have a motor home, I want to have a house in Belize, I want to have, you know, the fancy car and everything, and that's all material stuff, but they're not being realistic as far as where their finances are and what they can and cannot do. What most people don't realize is that in retirement, if you retire at, say, 65, you stand a very good chance of living to 90, 95. So you're looking at 25, 30 years in retirement. That's a long time to not have a paycheck coming in. So you have to be really careful in lusting after the good life. If you do it prudently, we can help you get the good life, but you can't be overzealous on what you're wanting.
Well, you want to make sure you're not changing your risk tolerance or your comfortableness with investments just to get something you material that you lust after, because that has consequences.
Yeah, it may work sometimes, but when it doesn't work out, now you're sacrificing some other really important things in your life potentially. And it's a road that other people have gone down and suffered through, and try and learn from those mistakes rather than repeating them and following in, you know, sort of bad footsteps, if you will. And this is not to say these seven deadly sins of retirement planning that we are, you know, here hosting this podcast, that we're perfect and don't commit these things ourselves, because we certainly do. We all do. We're all human. We all make mistakes. We all commit these seven deadly sins at one time or another, whether it be in our personal lives or from an exact financial standpoint as well. The idea is that if you have a planner on your side, an investor coach, somebody like Tim or Bree, they're going to be able to keep nudging you back on that right path. And if you need some help with that nudging, some help making sure that you're not being too greedy, that you don't have envy wreaking havoc in your financial plan, someone to help you do all the homework when it comes to your investments and your planning, and so that you're not committing that sin of sloth, those kinds of things, if you need help, 817-444-8402 is the number to call to reach Tim and Bree at Estes Financial Services. 817-444-8402. You can talk about coming in and having a conversation at their office in Fort Worth, or you can find us online, as always, at estesfinancial.net. Again, that's estesfinancial.net. This has been another Financial Flight Plan podcast. Walter Storholt here with Tim and Bree, and we'll look forward to talking to you on the next podcast when Bree's going to take the reins and walk us through the five Social Security items that women really need to understand. The five things about Social Security you really need to have a good grasp and a good handle on. We'll talk about that on the next podcast, so be sure to join us then. In the meantime, if you want to listen to previous episodes, you can do that on the website. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher as well. Thanks so much for joining us. This has been the Financial Flight Plan.
Security is offered through Triad Advisors, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Estes Financial Services, Inc., which is not affiliated with Triad Advisors.